It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Moving our way into the 12 o'clock hour here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you. March the 23rd, 2025. We got Jacob Lasner back behind the glass leading up into Boston Red Sox baseball on this Sunday afternoon on WEEI. And across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. A hello in addition to the folks listening in Cape Cod, Providence, Worcester, Portland, Maine, Keene, New Hampshire, Claremont, New Hampshire, and White River Junction, as well as my good friends on my WEEI affiliate growing up, WEEI 105.5 out in Springfield, Mass. Thanks for being with us. You can join the conversation at any point, no matter where you're listening, in addition to the free Odyssey app at 617-779-7937. That was Sam Kennedy on our airwaves, believe last week, talking about the idea of a Garrett Crochet contract extension. And giving me a bit of a pit in my stomach, if we're being completely honest with each other here on this Lord's Day. That tone of voice and that specific choice in phrasing by Sam Kennedy, when you also add in the context of what we got yesterday from Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, that does not make me feel good at all about a Red Sox ace that has pitched exactly 0.0 innings of regular season baseball for the Boston Red Sox yet in Garrett Crochet. So notice how Sam Kennedy went about that answer and how multiple times he very, very openly put the ball in Garrett Crochet and his camp's court for this extension. He said on multiple different occasions in no uncertain terms, if Garrett wants to sign this deal, if Garrett wants to stay in Boston, if this is what Garrett and his family want to do. So you're giving me the illusion that you, the Boston Red Sox, have put this contract extension of some way, shape, or form on the table, and that Garrett Crochet, for one reason or another, has turned down offers that came in. That is then followed up with what we heard yesterday. Crochet said, I think that right now we're just looking forward to getting through the season. We're just looking forward to getting through the season. Now, that doesn't make me feel any better. That makes me feel worse. No acknowledgement of a contract extension. Simply, we're on to Cincinnati. We're focusing on the regular season. Getting through the regular season, mind you, not dominating. I know this is out of context, but that's just not a very inspiring quote Like, that's not one of those quotes that you see written in cursive on Facebook that influencers and motivational speakers post. The "you can do it" kind of quotes. That is not that. "We're just looking to get through the season so I can get the hell out of here." That's how that makes me feel. Maybe I'm just battered and bruised from the last half decade of all my favorite players going to play on different teams in Major League Baseball. But then we get this. This is just Chris Cotillo writing versus quoting anybody directly. "A source with knowledge of the talks told Mass Live late on Friday that a crochet extension is less than likely before he starts for the Red Sox on opening day." That's fine. At this point, again, we're at the 11th hour. I'm not overly surprised to hear that. There is believed to be a large gap between the sides at present. Well, how big is large is a question that you can ask in any context. But how big is a large gap between these two sides? And what does Garrett Crochet believe that he's worth? And that's, with the numbers that we saw in free agency this season, kind of a daunting question, if we're being completely honest. With the kind of money that was being handed out in 2025. And I'll give you the update on what a starting pitcher contract may look like. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is at the top of the market in terms of total value by $1 million over Garrett Cole. $325 million over 12 years. Then Cole at $324 over 9. And then there's a significant drop. Max Fried at $218, Corbin Burns $210, Jacob DeGrom $185. Your average annual value is paced by Zach Wheeler at $42 million, then DeGrom at $37, Blake Snell, who just signed this offseason, at $36.4, and Corbin Burns at $35. There's your number, ladies and gentlemen. That's probably the family that Garrett Crochet believes that he should be joining. Over what length of time, I don't know. But again, this is a guy who's just going into his prime. So the fact that these sides are already, they haven't even seen a single pitch in the regular season from Garrett Crochet, and we're already at odds about a contract, is just ridiculous. And why I still don't trust this front office group and this ownership group right now. You made a move for Garrett Crochet. That's great. You made the move for the cost-controlled pitcher with a couple years left of arbitration because you were too cheap to spend on Blake Snell or Max Fried or Corbin Burns. You traded for the guy who, yes, has upside but does not have the resume in Major League Baseball save for one season with the worst team in baseball history. And I already have to hear that maybe somebody's got one foot out the door because you people don't know how to negotiate. I'm not saying you need to agree to a contract extension. We have a call on the line where we can continue to discuss that in just a moment's time. I'm not saying that you need to sign a contract extension right now. I actually think that there's some merit to waiting a year and seeing if this guy is worth the hype. Is he a 32-start, pushing 200 innings, Cy Young caliber pitcher? And then if he is, great. Sign him for all the money in the world. He's worth it. You're worth it. You both are worth it. Shut up and kiss already. Let's make this thing official. If you want to do that and both sides want to see what they're made of for one more season, okay, that's fine. But just say that. Just be honest about where you are. Don't start lowballing somebody on your roster before you have to. This is how John Lester became an Oakland Athletic and Mookie Betts became a Los Angeles Dodger. Because you don't know how to negotiate in good faith in the years leading up to when it's crunch time. That's why this whole thing worries me, because there's a sample size that when you're supposed to be negotiating in good faith and making progress, you throw out this asinine offer that all of a sudden makes the player back off and go, "Whoa, I mean, I wasn't expecting to get this done today, but I don't even think you're in the right, pardon the pun, ballpark with this offer right now." And so that completely changes the attitude a year later when you actually have to extend. Because they come to the table cautious going, well, you gave me cents on the dollar a year ago. I'm now better. I think I'm worth more. I'm sure you think I'm worth more as well, but are we going to have just as big of a gap? And are you going to try to lowball me more because I just brought you X, Y, and Z value? So my issue with this whole entire situation with Garrett Crochet is not that there isn't a contract extension currently present. Sure, I wish there was. It'd be great just for peace of mind to see that there was. But I also don't have a problem with these sides deciding let's wait a year. My problem isn't with the lack of extension. It's with the lack of awareness of this franchise to start negotiations off on the right foot. Why put yourself at a disadvantage with a player on your own team? Why is it easier for you to negotiate with Trevor Story than Xander Bogaerts? Why is it easier for you to negotiate with Alex Bregman than somebody else who's currently on your roster? Why is it easier for you to negotiate with somebody who's outside the building than it is with guys who you drafted and developed, and not for nothing, but who your fans get used to, who your fans actually root for? You know how many useless Bogaerts, Benintendi, Betts, Bradley, all those jerseys are floating around right now? Guys that were drafted and developed, homegrown Red Sox, that you just cast aside for one reason or another. And I know different circumstances follow different players, but there's a pattern here. Your best and your brightest get screwed the most in these contract negotiations. So it just bugs me, and it worries me. It really does. Because you, A, parted with good assets in order to make that trade, and B, you need an ace. You need an ace, and you're a big market team and should be able to pay for an ace. So this whole thing just worries me. I don't need this narrative. I tell you what, and I know we gotta go to Jacob's Trending in just a moment's time. So I'll finish my diatribe with this. By the way, didn't you miss baseball season? I certainly did. Being able to have conversations like this before the season even starts. I know. Screaming at the wall here in the studio, screaming at Jordan Spieth taking his warm-up swings ahead of the final round of the Valspar. We're still a week away from opening day, but I missed it, and I hope you did too. By the way, WEEI is the Red Sox radio network, so lots of conversations like these over the next 162 days and change. So, just a lot floating around in that entire situation right now with Garrett Crochet. And this was the point I wanted to get to, because I did forget it. The spring started off on such a positive note, real spring in the step, I must say, with the Bregman signing and how much of a positive influence it seemed like he was being, and just the renewed energy and the vibes, so to speak, around camp started off on the ultimate right foot. Since then, the Devers DH situation, the illness that went around the team, the Garrett Crochet extension talks, the Liam Hendrick closer battle lost, what else has gone on that drives me nuts? There's been just a few too many needles that have popped my balloon in spring training so far. I'm still excited. This is the most excited I've been about a Red Sox team in quite some time. But that doesn't take me away from the fact that there have been a couple of things this spring that have really just taken a bit of the wind out of my sails on this team. But I still do ultimately get excited about where this team is going. Okay, let's squeeze in a quick call before we get to Jacob's Trending. Ralph is in Cranston. Good afternoon, Ralph. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm going to tell you, you're right on with Crochet. I have no clue. When you don't really know what you're getting, I mean, he looks like a stud. He's had one, he blew his arm out once.
I mean,
his last four team starts of last year weren't really good. I mean, he didn't even go four innings. I mean, I only held him back. His ERA was around five. Look, I love the potential of this kid, but I don't understand what Sam Kennedy does, because we've seen so many idiotic moves. The Giolito signing, when you knew he wasn't a complete player at that time. He sucked the year before. Story was hurt. They got Story. We knew he had an arm problem.
Right.
I mean, so many of these bonehead moves. Now, Crochet, see what you have first. You are in a gigantic market. You charge the most for seating in this park. You have a lot of money. What is the big deal if he is the stud in 2 years down the line? You do pay him. Why sew him up now? They do things I just don't understand. I totally agree with you, with him, and some other things they do. Why would you want to not wait? Look at Sale. Look at how dumb that was. You knew Sale had a bad arm with a year left, and you re-signed him. As good as he is now, look at how it turned out. You're right on with Crochet. Let's see what we have first.
Appreciate the call, Ralph. Thank you for that. And again, I'm with you. And even if they did decide to sign that extension, I can stomach that. My main issue is just how it seems like the situation is being handled. And it worries me for hopefully good faith negotiations in 1 year's time when hopefully you are paying him for a Cy Young caliber year, a 15-win season, 200 innings, however many strikeouts, a dominant year like it looks like he's ticketed for. I'd love to see him compensated for it, but it certainly seems like you're starting it off on the wrong foot. Okay, more floating around Red Sox camp right now. Masataka Yoshida, not a part of the proceedings moving forward. Maybe, maybe not. He's got 20 days to figure things out. I don't know. This thing gets weirder by the day. We'll talk about that right after Jacob Lasner gets you caught up on.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On what's trending. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number, both to call and to text to join the Red Sox conversation. My man Zach Coe is back in our back studio because Red Sox baseball is right around the corner. 1 o'clock, they'll take on Minnesota before they head to Mexico to wrap up spring and get ready for the beginning of the season. It's kind of a rough way to start the season. I remember a couple of years ago when they went overseas to the UK to play, really kind of screwed up the year a bit because they went and did that, and then it was part of a road trip and that they ended up going on after. It was a whole thing. So you hope that that's not the case this time around, because at least you're not going overseas too far away. But that is the schedule coming up. So we're with you up until 1 o'clock, and then we'll hand it over to coverage of the game. Jacob, who's on the broadcast today?
I think it is Joe and Will.
Oh, there you go. Two dueling play-by-play guys on the broadcast today.
So I was talking about this last show about Jeremy Swayman. It's all about that routine. It's like, if they're going to Mexico and that screws up their routine. It's like anything's possible. So I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about that.
No, I'm right there with you. And it's just it's a natural progression of the ramp up in spring training that you just kind of interrupt a little bit would be the way that I would put it, where, you know, you start to build up your pitchers, you're building up your players. All of a sudden you see the innings count start to jump up a little bit. Guys are playing complete games. And then instead of just rolling right into the regular season, you kind of throw a little bit of an event, something with a bit more pomp and circumstance than you really need in the middle of it. So I know Rafael Devers is not going. Trevor Story wasn't going. They put out the roster. I think it was yesterday that went out. So hopefully it'll be a non-issue and then you can get started in Texas. But just, you know, reading through the tea leaves of how people respond to questions when they're asked about this series. We're excited to get going in Texas. But what about the series in Mexico, guys? How you feeling about that? Well, we're really excited about getting going in Texas. I'm like, oh, all right. That's really all I needed to hear about that. So I digress. Spring training, last game in Florida, coming up this afternoon in just about a half hour's time. Before that, the curious case of Masataka Yoshida. Boston wanting to employ Yoshida as an outfielder with Rafael Devers locked into the DH role on a daily basis is choosing to wait until Yoshida is ready to throw in a game setting before letting him play in the big leagues. To that end, Yoshida will start the year on the injured list as he looks poised for plenty of at-bats with AAA Worcester throughout April. On Saturday, manager Alex Cora acknowledged that Yoshida will likely spend the first week of the regular season in Fort Myers, then will join the Woo Sox in Jacksonville during the first road trip of the AAA campaign. Yoshida's rehab assignment as a position player can only go 20 days despite the severity of his injury. As an MLB.com's Ian Brown reported Saturday, the Red Sox cannot simply option him to AAA Worcester when he's healthy per the terms of his contract. Okay, so that is the update on the status of Masataka Yoshida. Looking at his numbers in spring training, 11 games this spring, a .286 batting average, an OPS of 684, so he hasn't been hitting the ball very far, but he's been getting on base, a home run and 7 runs batted in, 8 strikeouts, and has not walked either. What an interesting line, just reading that on the fly. So the argument here is that he's hurt, or that he's not 100%, that his shoulder is not ready to go at the Major League Baseball level. That is what the Red Sox, when they reached into the hat and pulled out an answer, went with in terms of how can we get this guy off of our roster? Because there is not much about that line that suggests to me that Masataka Yoshida is not ready for opening day. But you've screwed around with this player so much since you signed that contract, because arbitrarily you decided that this guy cannot play the outfield. I'm not saying he's a plus defender. I'm not saying he's a gold glover in left field. I watched both Manny and Hanley Ramirez play left field, so I can tell you that I think Masataka Yoshida could at least hold his own if you put him out there for any stretch of time over the last two seasons. Last year, he literally played one inning in left field, I'm pretty sure. So you're going with now, all of a sudden, Devers is our DH, so we want Masa to play the outfield. We decided that we would rather have Wally the Green Monster in front of the Green Monster last year as opposed to Masa playing left field. But now, we're ready for him to play big league innings out in left field. Okay. Now, if you are willing to believe that at the surface level, then you are more trusting than I, because I don't buy that for a second. Here's what I think is going to happen. He will spend that week in Fort Myers, or however long the Red Sox can get away with having him in Fort Myers. It may be a week. I think if they had their druthers, it may be more. But we'll see how long they end up going with there for quote-unquote rehabilitation purposes. He'll start there, He'll go to AAA. He'll play. And then he will spend, let's pick an amount of time. A month? A couple weeks a month on the roster? Where all of a sudden you'll start to see them playing some Fugazi games with their outfield. Where all of a sudden now, Seydan Rafaela only plays against lefties, and Massa plays against righties. And when righties are on the mound, it's Massa in left and Duran in center. And then when it's lefties, it's Seydan Rafaela in center and Duran in left. And, you know, maybe Willy Abreu needs a blow, so they move one of them over to right field and Massa plays again, whatever else. At a certain point, Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer, if they, assuming that all three of them don't make the roster, which right now it seems like it's only Christian Campbell, that's going to end up making it out of camp. But I would imagine that you're not going to be able to keep Roman Anthony down very long. So your logjam is going to become very present very quickly with this guy. So this process isn't going to last very long. Masataka Yoshida's time on the Boston Red Sox is directly connected to Roman Anthony's time on the Boston Red Sox, in my opinion. At some point or another, Masataka Yoshida is either going to be traded, probably for future considerations, or a player to be named later that probably never gets delivered later, or he's going to be DFA'd and either outrighted to AAA if he accepts it, or released to be signed by another team, passed through waivers, however they end up going about it. The reason that Masataka Yoshida is playing left field in AAA for the next couple of weeks is not because the Red Sox believe he's their left fielder. This is a showcase. This is a come one, come all, come on down. Watch the newfound left fielder of the Boston Red Sox. You too could own a prime Masataka Yoshida if the price is right. He can hit, he can field, he can throw, and he can be yours. That's what this is. This is an opportunity for Masataka. He's going to go down and mash, mind you. He's not one of these quadruple A hitters that you see him destroy. Poor Bobby Dalbec, because he's the one that I'm going to reference. But you see him go down and play incredibly in AAA, and then they call up, and you just can't quite put it together. That's not what Yoshida is as a hitter at the major league level. He's a very good hitter. So he's going to go down and destroy the baseball. He's going to hit the cover off the ball. And unless you go down and watch, or physically watch the games on MLB TV, or maybe they're on NESN, NESN Plus, whatever, you're going to hear very little, if anything, about how Masataka Yoshida is doing in the field. It's going to be a story that is buried as much as possible for the next couple of weeks while he's down there. Because the narrative that the Red Sox want out there is this player is healthy, his shoulder's healthy, he's still an incredible hitter, and look at him. Now he can play left field too. They're not going to say how he plays left field, but they're going to try to bait somebody into trading for this player, understanding that he can now play left field. So we'll see how long this experiment goes, but my God, can you be a little bit more blatant about what you're trying to do? Does anybody honestly believe at 617-779-7937, does anybody believe that they're actually in earnest trying to get Masataka Yoshida healthy enough to be the left fielder for the Red Sox and play the monster this year? There is no shot. Even if he makes the roster and plays, because at some point you're going to have to call him up and you're going to have to throw this thing at the wall and see if it sticks. At some point he is going to play. He's going to play left field against right-handers. And then maybe he'll spare Devers a day if, I don't know, if he doesn't want to show up and hit that day. I don't know. That's its own kettle of fish. Does anybody actually believe that they're putting him through this for him to play left field? There's no shot. This is one option and one option only. This is a showcase to try to get somebody to trade for this player. And I tell you what, It honestly may work. I mean, this is a guy that can help a lot of teams in baseball. The problem is, you've spent the last 2 years just actively destroying any kind of value that this player has when it comes to being a trade asset. You went through the entire offseason telling 29 teams in baseball, please, for the love of God, will you just trade future considerations for Masataka Yoshida? And 29 teams answered you like Rafael Devers answering a question about playing DH. No. That's what they told you. Because you were too obvious about it. You got to play a little coy. There's some gamesmanship when you go through these kind of things. You got to make it look like, hey, you know, I want to make a baseball trade here. I want to make a deal that benefits you and benefits me. So let's have that conversation about that deal right now. Friend of mine from rival baseball team.
No.
Thank you. You don't want to approach these situations begging and pleading, please God, for the love of God, take this player off of my hands. I can't bear the sight of him any longer. And that was the narrative that you let go for about a year. So the Red Sox are doing some PR maintenance when it comes to the frontward-facing profile of Masataka Yoshida right now. And it's going to lead to stories of him getting healthy and, oh, look at him throw. Look at how his arm is throwing that baseball coming down from the minors. Probably very little else. You won't hear about the bad. You'll hear about the good. They'll make sure that you hear everything about the good with Yoshida. Then he'll come back up. He'll get a stint. He'll probably do well because, again, he's good. He's a good hitter, and I think he's at least an average fielder. Thank you. I agree. And then he'll be gone in some way, shape, or form because you're not gonna stunt Roman Anthony's development to keep Yoshida on the roster. You're not going to do it for Marcelo Meyer either. It's a matter of time. So the question is, can they rebuild his image enough in order to get another team to trade for him versus just waiting the Red Sox out for them to eventually DFA him and either put him through waivers or release him outright? And if I'm 29 other teams in baseball, Jacob, I'm going with that first answer that you played from Rafael Devers if they come. It's not a C, I will make that trade. It is a very, very obvious no.
But honestly, he was a great hitter last year.
I agree.
He really was.
I agree. And apparently the Red Sox don't seem to care about that.
Someone's got to need a DH.
I agree. And I think he can also play left field for another team in baseball too, which is why this entire year-long thing makes no sense to me. Why did you spend a year plus actively ruining how other teams in baseball see this player? Because now he's toxic. It's impossible for them to offload him. So this whole thing makes no sense to me, but I think it's very, very blatantly obvious what the Red Sox are trying to get away with this player. And we'll see if they can get a team to bite. 617-779-7937 is the number. We're going to transition over into Red Sox pregame coverage. The lineup is out. The pitchers are ready. We have baseball coverage coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll get you set for spring training action next. That's enough Red Sox negativity and concern and bluster for one day. We got Red Sox baseball coming up in just a couple of moments. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, they will take on the Minnesota Twins. Cooper Criswell is on the mound today for the Red Sox to start 1-2, 470 ERA so far this spring. He was part of the competition for the last two spots in the Red Sox rotation, a competition which is still ongoing for the number 5 spot in the rotation. Criswell, Sean Newcomb, Quinn Priester, among those that are in consideration for that last spot, because Alex Cora did confirm to the media that Richard Fitz has been named the number 4 starter in the Red Sox rotation. So we knew for a while that it was going to be Garrett Crochet and then Tanner Houck and then Walker Buehler 1, 2, and 3. The question was going to be with Brian Bayo and Lucas Giolito and Carter Crawford. Good Lord. Remember the conversations of how there was going to be a 6-man rotation? Me too. With all of those guys down to begin the season, Richard Fitz was named the 4th starter, and he was fantastic last year, honestly. He pitched in 5 games, had a sub-2 ERA. He was a guy who opened some eyes in games where it was solely audition season at that point for the Red Sox. They were falling out of the conversation, and they desperately needed a starting pitcher, any starting pitcher, to start eating innings just because Houck was losing steam and Crawford was clearly injured and, you know, Bayo was kind of going up and down. He was probably their best pitcher come season's end, but you had guys that you leaned on heavily at the beginning of the year that were just starting to tire out, as is natural when you pitch to that level and that amount for the first time in your career. So Dickey Fitz was fantastic to end the season in five games. He'll get the nod as the number four starter. Last real audition for Newcomb, Priester, and Criswell during the course of this next week. So he is on the mound for a home game today for the Red Sox. The lineup, as you heard from Jacob earlier on in his trending, Duran in left, Devers the DH, Bregman your third baseman, Casas at first, Story at short, Christian Campbell at second, Willier Abreu in right, Connor Wong catching, Seydon Rafaela is in center field. The only change of note is a bump up for Christian Campbell up to that number six spot in the lineup. It seemed like the Red Sox second base audition was being held solely in the number eight spot in the lineup for like a 2 week stretch, where you saw Campbell in that spot and then you saw Marcelo Meyer getting some spin there. David Hamilton would hit there from time to time, but it's been more Campbell than not in recent days, in recent weeks. And it really does seem like it's his job to lose and that the team desperately wants him to be the starting second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. And that's really exciting. That's exciting to see that one of the big three has the opportunity to break through at the beginning of the season. And already off the rip, we get the chance to see one of these incredible prospects, which we've been sold on for years at this point. We finally get to see one of them break through on opening day if things go the way that it seems like they're headed right now. If they do make the choice that they want to send those big three down and just be sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are developed. And I think specifically you want to make sure that Christian Campbell is comfortable at second base. The defense has gotten better as the spring has gone along. If you wanted to give him a bit of a dip down there just to dominate and get his confidence up, I'd be fine with that. Same thing with Marcelo Meyer. If you wanted to give him more reps at second base, though I think that was more of a pipe dream than anything else. I think he's a guy who deserves a little bit of a run in AAA just to stay healthy and really have a dominant couple of months staying on the field, playing every day at short and at third, both or wherever you choose to put him. Roman Anthony's kind of somewhere in the middle, where he is both the victim and the beneficiary of the logjam that goes on in the outfield right now, where you have Rafaela who is hitting over 300 in the spring. He's a dynamic defender as well. So you know that he's going to get time. Duran's obviously playing every day. Abreu had a gold glove season out in right field. So you have three very good outfielders on the Red Sox as currently constructed. And the whole unknown of what is Masataka Yoshida going to be and where is he going to play when he ends up coming back healthy on this group. So many a question in front of Roman Anthony. That's why I think the Yoshida thing is going to be a short-term problem, not a long-term, because you're not going to block him. The question then becomes, well, who's the odd man out? Does Rafaela become one of the better super utility players in baseball? And he is your 10th man, essentially, where he's probably going to play at least two out of every 4 days, for example, a little in the infield, a little in the outfield, but may not play every single day. Or is there a move to be made? I'll tell you what I'd love. I'd love Roman Anthony to dominate at the beginning of his season in AAA, so much so that you get to the point where you can move Willier Abreu in a trade for a closer, Mason Miller, and that's the way that you both solve your back end of your bullpen question, which still exists right now, and you also bring up one of the best prospects in baseball. So that is my pie-in-the-sky hope for what happens in that situation, to where you could have Anthony in left and Rafaela in center, and I guess Duran moves over to right in that situation, or maybe Rafaela moves over. I don't know. Many a moving part to discuss with the Boston Red Sox, but all I know is that Red Sox baseball is coming up next. Red Sox against the Minnesota Twins here this afternoon, and then stick around after coverage of the Red Sox, because we'll bring you March Madness round of 32 action in the later afternoon into evening as we'll carry you through the rest of the Sunday. And then don't forget the Greg Hill Show, Jones and Keefe, WEEI Afternoons, and the Christian Arcan Show, all on the slate for Monday. I'll be with you tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 6 doing updates on WEEI Afternoon, so hope you'll tune in for that. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday afternoon here in the Boston and Greater Massachusetts area.
You too,
and Red
Dan.
Sox baseball. Thank you, Jacob. Much appreciated, my friend. Red Sox baseball on the way next. See ya.